first-paid dramas. The roar of the presses. Every week, these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed, 15,000 an hour, until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color.
Great fiction.
Interesting features.
Factual articles. Color illustrations.
All these are found in every issue of the American Weekly. All these go to make up the nation's reading habit, another name for the American Weekly, which comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Today, the people of Yugoslavia are very much in the news. Little is known of the wild mountain people who inhabit that part of the country, which was once the kingdom of Montenegro. Some insight into the proud, rugged character of these people is revealed in this week's front-page drama, Mountain Mother, based upon a news story to be found on the woodcut page of next Sunday's American Weekly under the title, Executed by Members of His Proud Family. In a remote, nameless village near the town of Nixit, Yelka Vilich, the proud old matriarch of a mountain family, brings her sturdy, dark-eyed daughter to be presented to another family whose son is seeking her hand in marriage.
So you look upon this match with favor, then, Yelka Vilich. The marriage contract is drawn. You will make your sign that our two families shall be united.
Yes, Stephen Navovic. I shall be happy to unite our two families in honor.
What is that? Who is it?
Commandor!
Layobo!
Oh, this is where I find you, old woman. I thought as much. Trying to sell my beautiful sister, your lovely daughter, to such a stupid family as this collection of diseased sheep.
Leave my house.
My sister will never marry an Adjovic.
Layobo!
What say you, my friend?
Will you get out?
Very well. You seize the wine. I'll tell
no.
you this marriage contract.
No, no. Come on, hands off that.
Gather up the wine and we'll celebrate. Out of my way.
I have summoned you here by the ancient law of family, which places me in the chair of honor as head of the house of Vilich. Since your father, my husband, is dead, and Layubo, my eldest son, is in disgrace. We are herein gathered in this, your birthplace, to sit in judgment upon Layubo, my firstborn son, who before the cross in the face of you, his family, has committed many sins. You who are descendants of a family of eunuchs, great heroes who have fought for the cross and freedom these 500 years against the Turks and all oppressors, you who have not seen one black mark upon the honor of Felix in 1,000 years, but now clear the family name of the stain placed upon it.
We, your brothers, your sons, the men in union by marriage, are ready to hear those who accuse Layubo, your firstborn.
Then I, Luna, his sister, the last of my mother's daughters, stand before you to accuse my brother. Am I not beautiful? Am I not one to be desired and married? Is not the name and honor of Vilich alone worth my weight in gold pieces? Yet I pine alone within the walls of this house, shunned by the young men of money and family. Not the last God-given chance escaped me when Layubo, my brother, broke into the house of Nayodovich. He was drunk with wine. He desecrated the marriage contract, stole the wine, destroyed the furniture, fired his sister into the air, terrorizing all those present. Must I live on alone, unwanted, because of the bad name of my brother?
You are right, sister. The once mighty name of Vilich has now fallen into disgrace. In the trading places, the honor of our name means less than the wood and dinner.
I speak in the name of Tutis. We who are united to your family by marriage, we too are in disgrace. Do not the people point to us and sneer. There goes that Tutis. He married a sister of Layubo Vilich, a thief by night, a drunken brawler by day, and a betrayer of girls all around the clock.
I am his brother, Radin, who worked hard in the field, that I might save my few dinars against the day when I must find a wife. But I must work and use my money to pay his debts and make restitution for the money he steals. And above all, bear the burden of disgrace.
Enter.
1,000 pardons, Yelka Vilich.
To you, members of her family council, it is not that I wish to intrude upon the privacy of your council, but I bring evil news.
Speak out, old man. What evil has my son wrought now?
You do not know. He has not been here then?
No. For 3 days and nights, he has been missing from my house.
Then you have not heard of the drunken brawl in the tavern at Mystic. It is the tavern keeper, old Milon. Your son beat him badly because he refused him wine. The old man died. Now the police hunt him.
He is not here. But our thanks for your trouble.
Dada, my heart goes out to you. In your disgrace, Yelka village, your son will be hung for a murderer in the public square.
We do not ask your sympathy. Go now and leave us to our council.
Dada, I go. He will be hung in the public square.
There are 20 of you here, assembled men of village. The law the family must decide. I place before you the black box. In it are the black and white marbles. You will select one of each as I pass the box before you. Then I will place the empty box in the center of the table. You will each show your decision of my son's guilt by placing in the box a white marble if he is to live, a black one if he is to die. I have counted 20 black marbles. Lyubo, my firstborn, is to die. So be it. Now you among the elders, place 4 loaded pistols upon the table. There are the 4 pistols. You 4, my sons, brothers of Lyubo, take up the pistols. Stand facing the door. You will be ready when I give you the command.
Indeed, an honor. Not one, but the whole house of village sits up to welcome home its wandering son. And to what do I owe the honor of this company?
There has been a family council to decide the law of the family.
Eh?
The honorable way. The ancient way of putting aside one who has wrought disgrace upon this honored house.
I live my life. I'm responsible to no one. I make the laws I live by. I'll be judged by no man.
You have broken the laws of this family. They have first claim upon you. Your voice has broken the laws of the land. There is blood upon your hands. You will not answer to the laws of the court for that. You answer only to
us. Enough of this old woman's nonsense. Let me go to my bed. I need sleep.
Stand where you are. Look there upon the table.
What?
A black box. Your fate has been decided.
You? Yes. Oh. No, you do not wish me dead. You, my mother. You, my brothers. Why do you stand there looking at me like that? Huh? What do you hide behind your back?
Show him.
No. No. Not that you're not going to do that, Mother. Mother, hear me. I beg of you.
It is too late.
I
prepare to meet your maker.
You would.
Prepare to die. No, not I like don't. A weakling or sniveling coward.
I was.
If there is but one spark of man
you
in me,
must.
Prepare to die like a true son of Venus.
No, Mother.
Family of Venus.
No, no. You can't do this to me, Mother. No, one of you must listen to me. No. No, no, Mother.
Ready, my son.
No.
Do your duty.
No.
Now. With his blood, I make this cross. It is finished.
Where is he? What did you do with him? What was all that cheating for? We are the police.
I know. You've come for my son, but we have cheated you. There he is. There. Dead on the floor. I am his mother. His life belongs to me.
You will have to answer to the court for this. You. All of you. You cannot take the law into your own hands like this.
Just because you're accomplished by a law far greater, far older than the laws men make in the great halls of the city. Ours is a family law handed down to us through the ages of time, as firm and strong as the granite of these mountains. This was a duty.
Despite the protestations of the old matriarch, the police herded the family down the mountainside and took them to the town of Nixit to stand trial. Seven were convicted and sentenced to hard labor in prison. Yelka, the proud old matriarch, got 13 years, her brother 15, and the four sons 12 years each. When the judge sentenced them, not one single member of the family expressed regret. Old Yelka merely reiterated the law of the family and stated simply she had done her duty. There is good news for all lovers of good fiction in next Sunday's American Weekly, for you will find the opening chapters of a nationally famous author's latest novel strikingly illustrated in full color. Every member of the family will want to read Fatal Gift by Catherine Newland Burt, author of such famous novels as No Surrender, If Love I Must, and the widely read Men of Moon Mountain.
Well, if you ask me, I'd say Lucy Grange is far too good-looking for her own good.
Did you ever see such a beautiful creature in all your life? I have the most perfect expression of feminine beauty I've ever seen. What I wouldn't give to meet her.
How was so much beauty given to one woman?
Boy, she's breathtaking. Lucy Grange. So that's who it is, eh? Well, I've simply got to meet her.
Yes, Lucy Grange was beautiful. The flawless loveliness of her face and figure stirred the envy of women and won the awed admiration of men. But it also cast a shadow over her, a shadow that threatened to wreck her life. Lucy Grange's desperate battle for romance and happiness is graphically told by Catherine Newland Burt in Fatal Gift. Don't miss the opening chapter of this radiant romance, which begins in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.